Are you strong enough to talk out loud? This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Are you strong enough to talk out loud? Well, at the breakfast table this morning, Ellen and Sylvia were discussing the beautiful piddling rain that we're having. It's just sort of a gentle rain that's coming down and soaking the ground and not really being excessive or too little, but just right. And they were saying how wonderful the rain is. And then they opened their mouth. And they said, we're taking a trip to Los Angeles tomorrow. And we all know that. And they said, the weather's going to be wonderful. And we all know that. And they said, the weather's really going to be wonderful. It's going to be just a wonderful day tomorrow. There ain't no rain tomorrow. So I looked up on my iPhone on the weather report, and the weather report said, no rain tomorrow. It's going to be wonderful. Sunny day. So I said, it's a sunny day tomorrow. Oh, well, it's going to be no rain tomorrow. No rain, no rain. And they're protesting that there's going to be no rain tomorrow because there's rain today, and then there's rain the day after tomorrow, and the day after that, but there's no rain tomorrow. And so, if you cannot feel comfortable making a statement of affirmation about the truth for yourself, certainly don't make it out loud. Because if you're making it out loud, people are going to have varying opinions about whatever your statement is, and you're going to have to live with that. You're going to have to fight with that. You're going to have to make sure that that is not your opinion, the opinion that they have that there's going to be rain tomorrow. And the weather report says no rain tomorrow. And then they'll talk about rain tomorrow. And here I am talking about rain tomorrow. And I'm saying it'll probably be rain tomorrow because when I put my cause in motion, there's rain. And I just love rain. So we're going to have lots of nice rain tomorrow. And it's going to be rain. Well, Sylvia and Ellen don't know about Mr. Blitchfitz. And Mr. Blitchfitz, probably I'm pronouncing it incorrectly, but Mr. Blitchfitz was with Little Abner. And Little Abner is a comic strip that we grew up with as children in the United States. It was in the funny papers every day, and on Sunday it was a full page of comic strips. And Mr. Blitchfitz was somebody that came along in Little Abner's experience, and wherever he went, it rained. It rained on him. He was a rain cloud. No matter what he did, it rained. No matter where he went, it rained. So his friends all told him to stay outside, not to come in the house and have it rain in the house, you know, because it did. It rained in the house. If he went in the house, it rained. So he wasn't a welcome guest anywhere because he was the rain man. And he was a sad, sad looking fellow. He was wearing black clothes, and he was just a very sad looking fellow and just a very sorry person. Now, Little Abner, it didn't bother him at all. Little Abner, wherever he went, Little Abner was built like a truck, you know, just muscles and strong as could be, and always a teenager. Or just a little above a teenage, always at that age. And he and Daisy May were always interested in each other, but never did anything about it, because he was always an immature teenager, very immature. But he was a truck. He was built like anything. He could do anything. He could lift anything. He could, you know, do all the things that were necessary to do in the Appalachian Mountains where he lived. And he lived with Pappy and Mammy Yoakum, and he lived with the rest of the community. And it was very interesting. But Mr. Blitchfitz, whenever he'd come around, he didn't come around very often, but every maybe 2 or 3 months he'd come around in the comic strip, you know. And with him he would bring the rain cloud. And then, it's interesting, but I don't think we remembered it too well, but he was asked, why is he bringing a rain cloud with him? And then he was saying, well, because there's so much sadness around, there's so much unhappiness around. You know, he brought sadness and unhappiness with him because he said there was so much around. and that was in his consciousness. And with it came the rain. With it came the rain clouds around him all the time, and a big cloud over his head, you know. Now, they never did satisfy that situation and get rid of those clouds, but they just brought him onto the scene maybe once every couple months. And so, therefore, you didn't have to do too much with him. But most of the time, Daisy May and Little Abner were doing all sorts of fun things. And Daisy May wore the mini skirts before there were mini skirts, and she wore a mini skirt that was a super mini skirt. But on her, it looked just perfect, you know, because she was drawn to have it fit. And Little Abner always had one of his shoulder harnesses hanging down, and he was just and they were cut a little short, so that his ankles showed, you know, and his shoes were always clodhoppers, and but he was a good guy. He was a good guy. If you ever have a chance to look up Little Abner, you look him up and see him as a being who is not in our age, not in our time, because he's very modest, very primitive. And very, he could accomplish anything he wanted to do, which was a very wonderful thing. And there's probably more blessings to that strip than we'll ever know. But as this is the case with most things, because we have the ability to put causes in motion in our life for anything that we want. And if the two ladies, or let's call them the two monks, the two monkey ladies, or lady monks, the two lady monks in the monastery are going to take the trip tomorrow and go to Los Angeles, what kind of weather are they going to have? Now, don't answer me. What kind of weather are they going to have? Well, Chrissy called me from London last night, and she called me on the email this morning 3 or 4 times, and she asked me about treating with her for a wonderful meeting today with her staff and with her hospital organization, and it was going to be a very important meeting. And so she wanted me to treat with her. And she knows what I'm going to tell her. She knows I'm going to tell her positive, positive, positive. And so she says, I'm going to have a good meeting. I'm going to have everything in divine order. Everything is going to be wonderful. All that, this. And then she named the times, and they're going to be wonderful. They're going to be wonderful. Now, is that true? Yes, only because it's between Chrissy and me. Because I think what she wants. I think what she has in her heart. Now, if she's going to go and tell her other staff that the meeting is going to be all in divine order, they're going to say, yeah, but we got these problems we're going to bring up. We got these things. And never tell anybody your dream. You say, I'm going to have a baby. Well, it gets obvious after a while you're going to have a baby. You can't hide it. But while you're getting ready to have that baby, you got a secret in your heart and in your body that nobody can see. It hasn't grown large enough for anyone to be aware of it. And so you can say to yourself, this is my little secret, my little baby. And my baby is ideal. My baby is wonderful. My baby is whole and perfect. My baby is fantastic. I have a perfect body, which is going to produce a perfect baby, you know. And I live in a perfect, perfect body. I am so wonderful. But other people would hear you say that, and they'd say, cuckoo, cuckoo. You know, she's just overkill. But that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. The minute she starts telling other people about it, then they start saying, well, you know, this is going around, and that's going around. You know, you go to a doctor, and you go, the doctor's offices are not really very pure and clean. The doctor doesn't even wash his hands between patients, you know, and he doesn't wear gloves. And you go in the hospital, and they got this, and they got that. And oh, my goodness, all of the dreadful things that people will say to you, which may be experiences that they have and they know about, but you don't have it. How can some people go in the hospital alive and come out alive? They're supposed to go in the hospital alive and come out dead, you know. But how can some people do that? And how can the majority of the people who go in the hospital go in alive and come out alive, come out the better for having the experience? There's only a few people who have in their consciousness that the hospital is not a nice place, that they have those experiences. And every time you allow your mind, your heart, your thought to dwell upon anything contrary to what you say you want. Now, every morning here at the monastery, we gather before breakfast, and we all get into a beautiful arming one another. We put our arms around each other as a large group. If there's 3, 4, 5, 10 people, it doesn't really matter how many. And then we snuggle each other and we say, Om, 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 which means the divine in us is on fire and I'm happy and all is good as my world and all that sort of good stuff. And then after we say Om, we say 7 times, I like me, 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 I like me. And everybody's got a I like me in their heart. They're all tickled up. They're all geared up to liking themselves. And then we say, what do we say?
I am peace.
Why do we say I am peace? We say I am peace because we're peace. Because we're in balance, we're in harmony. We are the most balanced, harmonious people the whole world has ever seen and ever known, especially because we're the creator, too, of that. So I am peace. And then we throw in a little ice cream, and we say,
I'm independently wealthy.
We say, I am independently wealthy. Now, that's for our ears. Now, some of our monks and some of our guests, they giggle when we say, I'm independently wealthy, because they would like to be independently wealthy and they're not experiencing it. So, you see, for them, they might say it quietly in their heart. But if you're in a group of people and the vibrations are as they are with the morning meditation and the monks, you can say whatever you want. And everybody is going to say, yeah, right, good for you, that's correct. That's best, a blessing to you. But even then, keep it to yourself. Say whatever the group says and get your vibrations up. And when the vibrations are at their peak, when they're at their peak, then you say to yourself, I'm independently wealthy. You say to yourself, I am whole and perfect. You say to yourself, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. You say to yourself, and the vibrations are so high, it carries you right into that attitude, that experience. And it's wonderful. And then after we do that, then we give each other a kiss on the mouth and a hug. And we say, I love you. And we mean it. We mean it. We take a moment. We don't rush and on to the next one because there's so many. We give one loving, longing. Some of our guests that come here, they like the kisses so much they participate in it for 2 or 3 seconds or maybe about a minute or two sometimes. We got to say, hey, next, we're going to get ready to eat our breakfast, you know. But that's good. That's good. I'd rather say next than not. Some people have a difficult time kissing on the mouth because they think that you get germs that way and you get this and you get that. Nonsense. Germs were never transmitted from kissing on the mouth. Unless you are a sick person. Now, are you a sick person? Not in my world. Are you a sick person in your world? Then you got problems. Then you better go in your room and lock the door. But the thing is, if you are a whole and perfect person, you'll have no trouble. Now, French kissing, there you start getting into a little trouble, you know, because you're transmitting fluids between bodies. But the thing is, if you just kiss right on the lips, and a dry kiss, you know, wipe your mouth up and give a nice dry kiss, not a schlutzy kiss, you know, not like a little kitty kiss where you just got off the bottle and shroop, 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 but just a nice dry kiss. And it is beautiful. It is wonderful because it's a blessing to you. Now, keep your secrets to yourself. Keep your goals to yourself. Keep your desires to yourself. Keep your plans to yourself. Unless you have a mentor to work with you. And my name, my middle name is Mentor, you know. It starts with L, elementum.
The loving mint.
Yeah, because I don't judge what any of you talk to me about. I don't judge what any of you have in your hearts. I don't judge it. I just say, let's see how we can bring that about. And you only talk to me about your desires. If you talk to me about your problems, then I have to say to you, well, you got to let that be in the past. That's yesterday. That's no longer. Right now, we're living in the now. And when each of you learn to be practitioners, then that's what you'll do too. And you won't remember a thing the person said after they left your presence. The person comes and talks to you about their dream, and after they have left you, that dream is between you and them only, and you don't tell anybody else in the world. And nobody else in the world knows it, nobody else in the world understands it. Everybody just thinks, gee, aren't they wonderful? And the truth is, they are wonderful. So, think about these things now. They're very wonderful, very important, very significant, but only if you use them. And only if you really use the principle the way you've been taught. Now, all of you are coming out of a crystal-centric background. Go into your heart in secret. And talk to the Father in secret, and the Father will reward you openly. So, we go to the divine within us. We go to God in us, in secret. Not because what we're talking about is bad, but because it is our little power thought. And the divine in us says, righto, it is done. Now act and think and live as though it is done. And it is done. And it'll be revealed to you. So wonderful, because that's your choice. It's up to me. It's up to you. It's up to us. It's up to us if we can do this thing. If we're going to be a Mr. Blitchfitch and always have a rain cloud hanging over us wherever we go, you know, then we got a problem. But if we're going to be Mary Sunshine and have a lovely heart, a lovely happiness, a lovely joy, smiling around us wherever we go, then that's going to be us. What is your nature? Is your nature to be good and pure and beautiful and whole and perfect? Then be that way. Is your nature to be a sick cat, always going to the doctor, you know, and always going with problems here and there, always telling the world it's a terrible thing? Then please go in your world, because I know nothing about it. I know nothing about it. And I have no sympathy with you and your world, because that's your world. If your world is sympathetic, harmonic, and like my world, then fine, we're one. But if your world tends to be a little different, then that's yours. And I would never take it away from you. But I would never participate in it either. So what world are you participating in today? A world of rainy weather, lovely weather, the sun coming out when you want it, and not when you don't want it. A little bit of rain here and there when you want it, and dry and wonderful when you don't. What is going to happen when our two princesses, well, I shouldn't say that, when our two monks drive into Los Angeles tomorrow? They're going to be so blessed because God cried tears of love and joy onto the highways that they'll travel, and washed them all clean and surrounded them with the pure white light of love, so that all of their ways are peace and all their paths are pleasantness. And what a lovely, joyous journey they will have. For surely it is done already. Have a lovely day, and know that I like me, I like me, I like me. That's a nice way to say it, isn't it? I like me, I like me, I like me.